Sometimes there's been higher applause, and I can understand why you don't want to applaud that, but it's okay, right? We want to thank the Lord, too. I didn't get a chance to opportunity because of everything kind of coming together the way it did up front, but I want to thank each of our elders and their wives, their spouses. They served during that time of making phone calls and trying to have the altar full of new members that are responding. So because of their hard work, they helped out. Along with Helen, they came to our first service. She's a great cook, and she made the meal for us, the lunch. And so let's just thank the Lord for our elders and Helen. And I want to make sure that we do that. Let's do something else. Let's welcome first-time guests, second-time guests to the house today. Welcome to Living Faith. Faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow and go, and thank God we're living faith, and I'm glad that you're part of it. You could have chosen to go anywhere else, but you chose to be here, and it makes us a blessing today. It makes us blessed because you're here. Message notes, if you have those right now, you'll need those. If you need some, if you need a couple, raise your hand because we have those ready. One person here. How about over here on this side? Anybody? 100%? Everybody have them? Show them to me. Amen, if you got them. Yeah, you got one at least. Nobody wants to show them. You guys over here, you're okay? Yeah? All right, cool. They gave me a thumbs up. That's all right. Thank you, guys. Yeah. If you're visiting for the first time, second time, I'm going to be in the cafe area after service, and I would just, it'd be my highest privilege to shake your hand and meet you and be a blessing, but I'll be in this area. Please come join me and be a blessing. Yes, amen. Thank you all. Thank you, Howard, for helping me with that. Howard's amazing, isn't he? He's just, give him a hand. Amen. He's a blessing to me. It's like my, believe it or not, Howard is like my, he's like, really like my little brother, my younger brother. Amen. Yes. And he's better looking, isn't he? Won't y'all agree he's better looking? Yes, he is. Nobody's saying amen, bro. I don't know why they're doing it. I'm going to tell you a cheesy, funny first joke. Is that okay? A cheesy joke? Is that good? There's this pastor, and he's walking down the street, and he sees about a half a dozen boys, and he sees they're about 10 to 12 years old, and there's this dog in the middle of them, an old dog, but they're around the dog, and the pastor's afraid. What are they going to do to that dog? And so he went over there and says, what's going on with this dog? He says, this old dog, we've just decided that the one that tells the biggest lie, best lie, is going to get to keep the dog. So we're all having a contest of who's going to tell the biggest lie right now. And so the pastor's kind of struck by that. You know, he's convicted. He said, so he breaks out in like this 10-minute sermon right there on the sidewalk. He starts off by saying, you know, boys, when I was your age, I never told a lie like that. I never said anything like that. And did you know that lying's a sin? You shouldn't be lying like that. And so, you know, I never lied, and you shouldn't lie. And so there was a deep sigh. One of the youngest boys there just kind of sighed, and the pastor thought, I finally got through to them, you know, because they're convicted. And that little boy sighed and says, okay, he wins the dog. Some sins are socially acceptable, and we call them acceptable sins, which there are no sins. We look at them like, well, I don't murder. I haven't made any false gods out of, you know, clay or gold, so I'm good with that. But how about the white lie that you told, the little white lie that you told about maybe going into work late or because you had an expense account that you used it for something else? Or there's these little white lies that get us. We have to recognize that sin is still sin. And the majority of those, well, murder, man, you're going to be put in jail. You create a false god that's an abomination against God. I don't do that. But you might think about this, that sin being sin still separates us from God. Right, everybody? Yeah. And there's this thought about the one that, well, you know, what's the big deal? I'm not doing anything. There's a lot more worse people than me. Look at the guys on death row, all the things. And I think of that automatically too. But you know what the thought might be? What if I compare myself to Jesus, the sinless one, the perfect one? I bring that nonsense to him, like, I only tell a white lie every now and then because I don't really want to hang out with them, so I make up something that I'm sick. Or I didn't go to church because, you know, I really just wanted to go do something else, and I know I should have been there, but I, you know, I sent Pastor the text that I had a stomach ache, and you weren't sick, right, everybody? That's not you, right, everybody? So we have this thing called we sin like Christians, and you ever meet somebody in maybe in your circle of influence, and they're not here today, but maybe people lie so much, and they lie so much, like you want to look at them and tell them, man, can you ever tell the truth? Do you have the ability to tell the truth? Boy, y'all are uncomfortable today. Smile at me, man. If you're looking down, maybe you're, no, I'm, amen. I'm just trying to be real with you. I think as Christians, to even tell gate on that one or latch onto that one here, I think we focus too much on other people's sins and not our own sins. And we judge even people that aren't Christians when we're really not supposed to do that. You know who we're supposed to judge? Really ourselves. And then after that, after we do that severely, then you can approach your brother and sister according to the Word of God. And so we want to look at these other people and judge them, especially people that aren't Christians, and you don't even want to look at your own life in the context, where is Jesus compared to this lie that I'm telling or this thing that I'm going through right now, right, everybody? And so for 4 weeks, I want to look at those ones that we think that are minor, but they're acceptable, or they're necessary, we think, and we're not going to go to hell because of them, but they've almost become a lifestyle. And get this, anything that hurts relationships here on this earth usually involves lying, doesn't it? Gossip, anger, all those. I didn't murder them, but no, you hurt the relationship by lying or by gossiping about them behind their back today. It's going to be good. Is that okay with you? Because we want to get set free. See, I want to leave Living Faith better than I walked in. How about you? Amen. This is stuff I just want to leave here. How about you? I don't need it in my life, and I want to get better. How about you? Yeah, everybody? So I believe I'm talking to the right people. I want to have a reset button in my spirit. How about you? So there I am again. Amen. Because I'm going to depend on God today. There's an urgency in my spirit that I leave differently in this house today, right, everybody? The scripture that I have for you opening today is like a prayer, and so I want to pray it like a prayer today. And so it's going to come up. It's Psalms 139. It's in your handout today. Isn't that wonderful that we have it? It'll be on the big screen in a moment. Look at it with me. There's been prayers that I've had to make that are real general, and the general prayers are like, God, I thank you for this food, and we're blessed because of it. And there's been prayers that I've had to make that I really thank God for the food, because God really provided. Do y'all understand? There was an urgency. I really needed to. God, if you don't answer about what the doctor told me, then I need a miracle right now. And so there's desperation prayers, right, everybody? Amen. And then so I don't want to get lazy right now. Do you understand that? So when I pray this with my eyes wide open, with you praying it with me, can we get a little bit desperate for God, everybody? Yes. And can we say it with some conviction and say, God, you really need to search me today. Right, everybody? Yes. And so, search me. Search me, Lord. Let there be a light right now that expose. Scan me, God. I know what it is to get an MRI in the natural. But would you do a spiritual MRI on me right now, Lord? Can I hear the people of God say, yes, Lord, yeah, do that right now. Oh, God, yeah, search me, Lord. Know my heart. Lord, out of that flow the issues of my life today. Test me, Lord. Try me. Prove me true, God, right now. Know my anxious thoughts. Lord, know that thing that I might have to tell a white lie about, Lord, in the coming days. And I don't want to do that anymore, Lord. I don't want to worry about that anymore. I don't want to complain about that anymore. I don't want to gossip about that anymore. Lord, I don't want to get upset at HEB in that long line anymore, Lord. So take care of it right now. I'm ahead of time right now. There's a down payment right now for my sin that Jesus did at the cross for me. I think somebody needs to give them 10 seconds of praise, right? Yes, Lord, you've already paid for my sins far away, as far as the east is from the west. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Like I've never sinned. I'm going to act right in that long line, Lord, when I see someone else that has 10, 20 items and they should have had 15. And I'm judging them, Lord. You're already there. So prepare my heart, Lord. that I'll just say, have mercy, Lord. You've had mercy on me when people have been waiting on me. You've been good to me, Lord. Can I keep praying? Point out anything, Lord, in me that offends you, Lord. Oh, my God. You've been so good to me, Lord. How could I ever offend you, Lord? With my actions, God, my heart, my disposition, my attitude, Lord, those things that don't even speak, God. And you've been so good to me, Lord. If there's anything that offends you, Lord, remove it. Point it out, God, so I can confess it privately, Lord, before it becomes something that is so awful that it overtakes my life, God. Yes, Lord. And now lead me, Lord, on the path of everlasting life. I'm so grateful, Lord. I get to be with you forever. You take me, Lord, filthy, full of shame, and you still call me your son. You put sandals on my feet, God. Yeah, you put a new robe on me, Lord. Yeah, you put a ring on my finger. I didn't deserve it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna just finish. Is that okay? It's done. You want somebody saying, "Please, I get to go home now." There's some of the biggest lies that are ever told, and maybe you've told some of these, or maybe they've been told to you. But don't they hurt when a lie is told to you? So I put them on the big screen because I kind of found them. They're on the internet, so you can Google them too, and they'll say this. Some of the biggest lies ever told. How many ever heard the checks in the mail? How many of you've told that lie? One person's being brave. Yeah, it's coming, and 2 weeks later, they're still calling you. They ever come to your house to try to collect it? Yeah, they have my house. Amen. They have when I was a kid. I remember my dad. Yeah, the checks in the mail, and they knocked at our door. Yeah, how about this one? You get this one, I'll pay the next time. They fed you a big, bad steak at that steakhouse, and then you took them to McDonald's. Or you never took them even to McDonald's. Come on, somebody. That ain't you, right? Nah. Don't tell them you're from Living Faith if you've done that, right? How about, trust me, I'll take care of everything. Yeah, and then again, why wasn't that sent in? Or who messed that up, right, everybody? And then... yeah, of course. How about this one? Of course, I love you. How about it's not the money, and it's all. It's a principle of the thing. No, it was the money because you're greedy, or you think you deserve that, and you just anyway. Let me move ahead before I get more evil stares at me. How about this one? But we can still be friends. Amen. Look who you married, though. Amen. All right. Don't be heartbroken about that in the past. How about this? She means nothing to me. Oh, you've gotten trouble on that one, right, everybody? Yeah. She means nothing to me. How about this? I'll call you later, and you're still waiting on the phone call, right, everybody? Yeah. How about this? I've never done anything like this before, and you've already done it in your head and over. You just practiced and finally came out. The last one is this. Sorry, we can't come to the phone. And thank God when you have caller ID and you don't want to talk to anybody, you see that, right? You can't come to the phone. How many of you have ever told a lie? Yeah. Oh, yes. Somebody, good. We're in the right service. Would you raise your hand? How many of you have ever told a lie? Just raise your hand, including yours truly. Now, I want you to keep them up. Look around, and if you see somebody not lifting their hand, call them a big fat liar. Yeah, good. You can put them down. 100%. First service, everyone raise their hand. You can put some of y'all leaving it up forever. Amen. I'm a real liar now. I think we're hardwired. God does this thing that he puts within us, a sin, not that he put it within us, but he wants us to come to him. And so that we're born with a sin nature, the Bible tells us. So we're hardwired already, because you don't have to teach a toddler to lie. Have you noticed? Like, who ate all the cookies? And I didn't, Daddy. And there's all these crumbs on their face, right? Who ate all the chocolate? And their voice is full of chocolate. we don't have to be taught to lie. It's within us to be liars and to tell little white lies. And so society accepts this thing, and it's kind of cute, but it's still something that God doesn't want in your life today. And he died on the sins even to remove little white lies today. Are you glad you came to Living Faith? Yes. There's this first thought as you look at your message notes today, and it says that God hates lies, and he really does hate lies. It's not cute. It's not God's principle. It's not his way. It's not his establishment that you would be a liar, because God hates liars, and his people were his children today. And so we should hate lying too. Proverbs 12:22. Read that with me out loud, not out soft, on three. One, two, three, go. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those that tell the... That Hebrew word for detest is literally this word that God would say, it's something disgusting. It's something that makes me vomit. I hate liars, basically. There's a hatred towards lying lips. Not that he hates you, but he hates lying lips. And God's word is written to Christians, not to non-Christians today. It's for God's people to read. The basic instructions before leaving earth, right, everybody? And so if he detests that, then it makes them literally puke when you lie. It's something that should make us nauseated if we're around that. And there's a thought that you need to really hem yourself into, because I think sometimes we think, well, the devil, El Chamuco, he has many names, Lucifer, Satan, the evil one, whatever you want to call him. There's a thought, well, he's God's enemy. Yeah. He sure is. But you know, if you're his child, the child of God that we just sang about, he's your enemy too. You ever have somebody that everybody hates? Maybe the next door neighbor. And he didn't even do anything to Junior, but Junior hates him because Dad got into an argument 20 years ago. So everybody hates that family on the block, right? Everybody, you can smile at me. Amen. We're real people here at Living Faith Church. So everybody, that's their enemy. Well, I can tell you the person that should be the enemy is the devil, right? Because he's Papa Grande, he's our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father has an enemy, and that makes him my enemy. Because I'm his son. How about you? And so I'm not gonna be buddy buddy with the devil, neither should you, or hang out with him. I detest everything that the devil does, and so should you. And because you're his child. If you're going to have an enemy, it shouldn't be the people next door. It should be Satan, right, everybody? One guy says, it's my wife. No, it's not your wife. Amen. It's the devil. John 8:44 explains that to us. It said, Satan was the murderer from the very beginning. And look at how amazing the scripture is, because it equates murder, because, man, they're on death row now. Somebody got murdered, and they found out who the murderer was. But look how it ties lying in with it. It's like right after that sentence. So that's how close it is that it was on Jesus' mind, that he wasn't just speaking out of just not, he wasn't just speaking without something to say to fill the air. He was saying, this is what it's married to. Satan's a murderer from the very beginning, not holding to the opposite of truth is lying, for there is no truth within him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, and that is called not Chinese, it's called Lionese. He lies, right, everybody? For he is a liar and the father of all lies. There's this Jim Carrey movie, and it's called Liar, Liar. And he gets under the spell. It's kind of a funny movie, but from what I know of it, I never saw the whole movie. Because if you have, you can go ahead and repent about it right now. And he gets this thing, and he can't lie anymore. So he tells people the truth. And he says, I can't say that. It's going to hurt their feelings. But he has to tell them the truth because he no longer lies. What if we really told the truth? And I think it would be something, right, everybody? If we finally told the truth. You can say the truth in love. Give me a good amen. Amen. Why are some sins acceptable as Christ followers, as Jesus' disciples, as God's children? We still accept them in our lives, and we have them in our home. And we treat them as they're normal. And God is giving us a wake-up call that I want more than six people to grab a hold of today, that we don't have those because we're God's children. We're not perfect, but we don't want lying in our home. We don't want lying in our church. We don't want lying in our small groups, right, everybody? Students, when you go back to school, you don't want to be a liar. You want to be a person of truth. You want to be a student of truth. When you go back to your college campuses, you want to have truth in your life, right, everybody? How do we lie? Let's go ahead and talk about this today. We lie, number one, the first thought is this. How do you lie? We lie to others. Somebody say we lie to others. Amazing, real quick. On Facebook, we put the post, Living Faith, and I invite you to share those posts because it multiplies our advertising in a way to announce to more people. So if you'll share them with your friends that are local, they might come to church. This post that I posted about acceptable lies, do you know it was the least shared post ever in the history of all of our posts? We do a bunch of them. The subject matter, I don't know what it was, but you tell me why we didn't post it a bunch. Thank you for posting it. Amen. You're a blessing to me. How about the rest of y'all? Come on. Now, who knows? One sister told me once, I do this because some of most of my friends don't go to church, and I want them to come to Living Faith. And it could be that waiting invitation. You're invited to join me. I'll meet you by the dumpster. Just come to the 10:30, and you can put that on your post, and we'll just wait. I want you to have the most friends come to Living Faith Church. Right, everybody? Just think when they come, amen, they're going to be a blessing. In Jeremiah, about lying to others, it says this, friends deceive friends, and no one speaks the what? Ladies, I'm going to come at you here. Yeah, do you know that you lie, national average, you lie at least 3 times a day? Ladies in this room, the shame on y'all for lying 3. You know that's 1,000 times a year? How do y'all lie so much? Okay, guys, here we go. The men in this room, do you know how much we lie? We double it. We lie 6 times a day at least. Isn't that something? I don't believe that that's true. That's a lie. No. I don't know what it is about us guys, why we lie. You know, it's probably why. You don't want to tell her how she looks in those pants for real? Come on. Or maybe about your own pants. I'm still a size 32. No, you're not. You're 42. Amen. You just keep. You don't tell your boss you overslept. You walk. Hey, there was lots of traffic on 410. Man, gridlock. You didn't hear it on the radio? Man, there was this bad accident. That's why I'm late. You lie about something that cost you a lot, and you go, no, it didn't cost that much. Or you just don't want to go, and you lie about that, right, everybody? So. Tell the truth today, right, everybody? All men and women in the house, right, everybody? We lie to others. And I think social media has even programmed us even to lie because we get on a post and we lie about really how much we really care. Or, you know, nowadays you can just put praying, you know, because somebody asked for prayer. Or you put even those hands that are the emoji hands. And do you really pray? You're lying, right, if you're not praying? And the researcher has even added to this thing about social media, how the interaction of contact has really kind of diffused us or desensitized us really from having relationship with people, that you still need someone to look you eyeball to eyeball and say, man, you're wrong. You need God. And we can do that so easily and hide behind our computer screen and type or on our phones and just put up something. And the interaction there that you have is not real because it's not a human being. That's why I believe even this, if I can press it, some people, I love big churches. I love going to them. I love the experience of a big church. I love that it's packed out and there are 5,000 people in one setting. But I will tell you this about big churches, and you can bear witness because I've been to big churches and I'm, you know, talking about them right now. Thank God for every big church in San Antonio, every big church across. Thank God for a great church that is massive and big. They do great things for Jesus. But I also think Christians can hide out in big churches because they don't want to be accountable. They're going to see your life in a way, even though you leave and, you know, you leave real fast, but you're accountable in a smaller body. And that's why small groups are real important in this church also, the larger that we get. So somebody can look at you and say, man, you speak the truth in love, right, everybody? And say, you need to clean that up. You need help. You need to go to this program. You need that sort of thing to stop in your life or it's going to ruin your marriage. And thank God for people that will do that in love, in love, in love. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting me in love. Amen. Give me a good amen. There's I first learned to really lie in Bible college. That's where they were training me to be a pastor. In Bible college, there's always a girl that's not, she just needs a healing on her face. Give me a good amen. Personality would go with it. Well, she's beautiful on the inside. Well, not even that, man. Come on. Come on. Let's be real. We're not going to lie. And so this girl, you know, again, forgive me. This was a long time ago. I asked Jesus to forgive me, okay? So y'all forgive me what I'm about to say. Here it goes. So there's this girl, and her name was Paula, and she's not a Facebook friend, so I can talk about her now. She was from Oklahoma, and I don't know what came out of Oklahoma, but she came out of Oklahoma. And she was always hanging out in the men's dormitory. Now, at GLT, some of you young people went to summer camp at YFN. The girls could go down to the lobby, but they couldn't go to the dorm floors. And we called people, girls that would come to the lobby at GLT, Gordon Lindsay Tower, where the men's dormitory was. We called them lobby lizards because they would just hang out. And we would even imitate them like lizards. They're just out there trying to, and what they would want to do is wait for the guys to come down, the single men, and they would, you know, strike up conversation with us and that sort of thing. Now, were there lobby guys hanging out at the girls' dormitory? There sure was. They would hang out the sidewalk and that sort of thing. But that's another story. I won't go there. This is a true story on my end. And so, what I know about with authority. And so this really happened. Paula was one of those girls that just needed help from Jesus. And thank God she went to Bible college. But she was always hanging out, trying to hang out with the guys and go with us. And it wasn't one of that girl that you wanted to be arm candy with you. Again, she needed healing. And so we didn't want to be with her. She irritated us and we just didn't want to be with her. Again, forgive me. It was in the past. I wouldn't do that anymore. Give me a good amen. And so, well, we knew on the seventh floor as we gathered in my dorm that she was going to be down there waiting for us to hang out with us, to want to do some stuff. And so we said, hey, we're going to Redbird Mall, which is in Duncanville right there. We're going to hang out at the mall. And Paula's downstairs. Don't anybody tell her we're going to the Redbird Mall because she's going to want to go with us in the car. And then we're going to be all packed. Plus, Paula's not going to shut her mouth, and we're all going to be mad, and it's going to mess up our day trip to the Redbird Mall. And so, sure enough, the elevator's open, we go into the lobby, and there's Paula. And not even without, I mean, she's the type of friend, where y'all going? And we're walking out, and nobody even did this, which was stupid of us. Nobody had that alibi or that little white lie story, like, we need to tell her we're going to go get brain surgery, or we're going, you know. And so, when she says, where are y'all going? I freaked. I don't know if the Holy Spirit came upon me. Everyone else was kind of looking around, and I was kind of like the center of it all, and I freaked out, okay? I went, oh, she said, where are y'all going? I went, we're going to the mall! And they all, like, looked at me, my buddies. And then she said, famously, can I go too? And I go, hey, yeah. And we all got in, and there we are going to Redbird Mall, Duncanville, Texas. And she's right in the middle, yakking it up, man, just yakking up and talking to us. How many glad Nava didn't lie? But I thought about lying, right, everybody? My first reaction when a lie comes upon me because it's hard work or I lie is, I hope I don't get caught about this lie. Lying is hard work, isn't it? Yes. And not to tell the truth almost puts us in a bondage, and it really does. It's a spider web of being deceptive, and you can see a web being webbed, and you just get webbed like a spider capturing its prey, and you can't move. And one lie, see, it's a spiritual thing. Did you know that, to tell a lie? Even a little white lie. It's an evil thing to tell even a little white lie. It captures us and it hems. It's not who you really are as a child of God. You're a person of truth because your Father is a person of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so He tells the truth, and we tell the truth here because we're children of God today. Right, everybody? The second thought is, somebody say, we lie to God. What I find amazing, in the Old Testament, God struck a lot of people dead. An entire city got wiped out named Sodom and Gomorrah. It got wiped out. except Lot and his family. But in the New Testament, the Old Testament covered thousands of years. In the New Testament, check this out, it's like 80, 89 years. And that's the span, and then the New Testament closes, and there's no more book added to it today. And so within those 89 years, God doesn't kill anybody except two people. And they were a married couple. And their names were Ananias and Sapphira. And in chapter 5 of Acts, this incredible thing is coming upon the church that everybody, people are giving, there's no need. No one has any need in the church. If there was a need, people give towards it. And it's a picture of a beautiful church, like Living Faith. If there's ever a need, we try to do our best to help people within the body here. Right, everybody? Amen. We live that way since day one. Well, they're doing a good thing, the church. And there's this couple named Ananias and Sapphira, and they sell a plot of land, which is a good thing. And they could have kept it. It was their land. But they chose to bring it to the apostles' feet, to Peter. And they bring it to his feet. And the thing that is evil about it is they lie about it. They kept back a little bit of their own. Now, God didn't care if they would have kept back. It was theirs. They could have kept back something. But the way that they presented it was like, this is everything. And they lied not only to the people of God, they lied to the Holy Spirit. And that's where death happened. Imagine if that were to happen today in our church. I think maybe there wouldn't be a pastor here next week, right? Would you be here? I don't know. And so I think we deceive ourselves. And so Acts chapter 5, verse 4, are y'all there with me today? Amen. And this is Peter speaking. What made you think of doing such a thing? Leaving the ketchup bottle empty in the fridge. Does anybody have kids? Leaving juice in the juice carton, and there was no juice in there but a little goat. Amen. I do that a lot in my home. I tell the people, why would you do that? Thank God my kids aren't there as much anymore. Give me a good amen. So we have plenty of ketchup now. Give me a good amen. But what Peter is saying, all joking, what made you think of doing such a thing? How you lied. You have not lied just to human beings. You did lie to the church, but you lied to God. And they thought they could lie to the Holy Spirit. And what they wanted to do is be, well, we're committed, man. Yeah, we're committed to, look, church members, I'm committed at this thing. And they wanted to make that appearance happen, and they lied. I think I can extend it this way. When you lie to God, you lie to God's people too, if you're part of the community of faith here. You lie to your church. You lie to me as your brother. You lie to your sister that's next to you. You're lying if you're even in the attitude. And I think of a leader member that might be, even a member, can I talk to you guys today? That's why when a lie happens, it comes back and it affects this body. Because we're in relationship today. Our young people, if they're getting high on the weekends and then they're doing something in leadership, even in their youth ministry, then they're lying, they're hurting the whole youth ministry. Do you understand that today? That's why if someone's on the platform and they're not living a truthful life, it hurts the whole body. I don't want to, I'm so thankful for the mercy of God that hasn't killed me for telling even a little white lie. That was a little white lie that Ananias and Sapphira did, didn't it? Honestly, it was a little lie. We've done that. We've done worse in church, I think. Right, everybody? And so we're careful today with the Holy Spirit. We're careful with each other. We're not perfect people, but we tell the truth. Give me a good amen. And finally, we lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. We get so caught up in deception. We lied to this person. We lied to God. We lied to the church, and now we deceive ourselves, and we've gone not true north anymore. We're not true north anymore. We've gone so away from the compass that we can't get back because we deceived ourselves so much. We don't know what the truth is. Psalms 119, 27, help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your... Thank you. Six of you here today. Keep me from lying to my... Yeah, you're deceiving yourself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions today. well, I don't see the problem, and everybody's telling you that you're an alcoholic or you're a drug addict. You ever meet somebody like that? You try to tell them there's a problem in your life. You get drunk all the time, and you need it, and they don't believe it. I don't have a problem. I can quit any time. Right, everybody? We've all been there. Maybe we were the ones that had to exposed that situation. And thank God you're better now because of it. But you had to admit it. And some people, what my biggest fear is, as I shepherd the great church called Living Faith, is that you think that you're close to God because you've deceived yourself and you have no relationship with God and you're real cold with God. And you think everything's okay because you've gone so far away from God, you've deceived yourself. And that's what a big concern is right now as I shepherd the sheep at Living Faith today. You can discern some things because you have that gift. You can tell when somebody's lying to you. I've talked to people and I go, hey, how's your spiritual life? It's my job as a pastor. And they go, man, everything's great. I'm in Bible study every day. My workplace is being affected because of my witness. My children we have family altar. And I can tell something is taking place in that individual's life, that there's something happening in their life, that God's being real good. You can discern that pretty easily. But then the conversation might be this way. How's everything happen? What's going on in your spiritual life? You know, this, that, and the other, man, we're doing all right. What do you think I'm going to believe? Hey, there's problems there. There's something going on, not to judge anybody, but to discern. And if anybody that we judge, it's in the house of God, because that's what we're supposed to do after we judge ourselves. Right, everybody? Yeah. I think I got in trouble for first service for this, but when I said it, but y'all are okay with that, right, everybody? Amen. There's evidence about your witness with Christ, and there's evidence about what you are as a Christian. You can get convicted because you're a Christian today and thrown in jail because you're a Christian. There's enough evidence against you. Or is there not any evidence? And they say, no charge. He's not even a Christian. He's faking it. Well, why do you lie? We lie. How we lie? We lie to people. We lie to God. We lie to ourselves. Why do you lie? And life can be easier. We think that we lie so we can't find the truth. And we protect other people's feelings. We avoid conflict by lying. And lies, again, are like this snowflake. You can show me the next slide. Lies are like this snowflake that becomes a snowball. You told this little white lie, and it begins rolling downhill. And you got to keep it active and keep it alive. So you tell more lies and more lies and more lies. And it's this huge avalanche that you're trying to get. You work hard at keeping that lie going today. And why do we lie today? There's this interesting resource that I have, and it's a sermon resource. And I'm able to go on it, and they plugged me into this thing that you could find. And a few years ago, they had this website that you could confess your lie, and like a way of just not getting your sins forgiven, but just a relief, and you could do it anonymously. And they left them up, the three ones that I have here, and of course no names were used, but listen to these three lies that were told, and listen to the heart of it right here. First one, my whole life I've struggled with telling the truth. The problem is I hate to disappoint people. And so if I failed them, I lie about it. And also I lied because I'm trying to impress people and convince them and convince people to do something that I want to do something for them. I've even lied to women in the past so they'll go to sleep with me. The second one, I pretend that everything in my life is perfect, but the truth is I hate myself, and most days I wish I would die. My family and friends don't have any idea. No one knows that I think every day about killing myself. This final one, my husband thinks that I was a virgin when we got married. Not only was I not a virgin, I had an abortion when I was 19. Now we can't get pregnant. I'm afraid that God is punishing me for my lies, and he's not doing that to that person. And she ends by this, please pray for me. I don't know what to do. Can you hear the pain on each of those? Can you hear that? How do I get out of this web of a lion that I've created? And so why do I lie in that moment? Why do I lie? Because, I protect others. I don't like the way the truth looks. I lie because it would look better if I said this than that. And you know the reason I've lied? I've lied because it's better to lie than to tell the truth. That's the honest thing. I'm not lying about that. I lie because it's better to lie than tell the truth in that individual. And lying will bring me security. And that's the great deception that the enemy wants to sell the child of God. But lying doesn't bring you. The more I lie, you know what happens? The more insecure that you and I become. You lie. I lie so I can get more and more of what I want. And I can tell you what matters most. You won't get it if you keep lying. There's this great quote that I heard as I studied, and it says this: you cannot build a life of legacy, you cannot build a life of integrity on a foundation of lies. You cannot build a life of integrity on a foundation of lies. My lie will help me, will help you like me more if I lie. And it's just the complete opposite. No real relationship is based on lies, yeah. Believe the lie, and I more than I live in the truth today. I want to press something today. Remember who your enemy is. He's the father of lies. His name is Satan, and he should be your enemy. And he's the beginning of lies, and he has no truth within him. And so let's say Nava boy, this is real Nava boy here. This is the guy you see. This is the guy that lies. This is the guy that lies. But the guy that really should be here is the guy of truth. And there's where Jesus is, because Jesus is all truth. Jesus is right here. Truth is here. And so this is where I want to be. I want to be next to the way, the truth, and the life. And whom is set free, the truth sets me free. Truth is not this philosophy. Truth is not this thing that we see on the... Truth is a person, and the person is Jesus. And so we get close to truth, which is Jesus, all the lies dissipate. And so if I'm lying over here all the time, and this is me lying, and I'm far away from that, and I get further and further away, I can't get close to God, get close to Jesus, because he's truth. But here's what faith does, and here's what you should do, and here's what I should do. I get closer to Jesus because I want truth in my life, and I don't want to be a liar. So I don't believe the lies that he's told me about myself. You're a loser. You're always going to be sick. You're always going to lack. You're never going to do this or that. And so I believe those lies. So I start lying about myself and lying to others about what I witness and who I am. So I get closer to Jesus, go, I'm not a liar. My Father is the truth today. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Right, everybody? I'm not a piece of junk. I'm not garbage. I'm a masterpiece. They may have told me that, but I'm a masterpiece in God. God takes his paintbrush and he makes me something beautiful today. And so I'm closer to the truth of who I am, right? And I'm listening to that. And I become truthful in what I am and who I am. Right, everybody? Amen. And that's how tight you need to be with the truth today. And all it takes is that step towards truth today. It's not hard, but we face ourselves. And we might need to face other people that we've lied to within this church, within our family, within our brothers today. Right, everybody? Amen. Start believing the truth, because that's who God says you are today. Right, everybody? So let's bow and pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the truth of God being in this place today. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ. A confession I make over this church today. I am a new creation today. Thank God I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live today, but Christ lives in me today. I make a confession and declaration over this church that I overcome. For greater is he that lives within me, the Holy Spirit, than lives in the world today. My children are a heritage of the Lord today. I am not ashamed today, because my children don't bring me shame today. They're my heritage today, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All the promises are yes and amen. The promises of God are for me today. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for the family of God today. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would do the healing work in our lives. And God, that you would look upon me today, look upon our church family, and that you would forgive us of our sins, make us new and transform us today. By the grace of God, today, help me to believe the truth so I overcome the lie that brings me into bondage. We confess to God as you stand in an attitude of prayer. No one looking around right now. We confess to God. You don't need to confess to a screen or someone behind the screen today. You confess to God, and God forgives you. That's word. That's truth. That's going to happen. You confess to God. He forgives you. You confess to people that you've lied to and that you've hurt. And you know what happens? You get healing, according to James. And so, I don't know what needs to happen today. Of course, we talk to God, but you may need to talk to some people today. You may need to bring healing to your life, and that's why you're not healed, because you haven't confessed to the one that you lied to, the one that you hurt today. I want that every hand is raised on this one. I want to be a person of truth. Mario Nava, the Christian, I want to be a person of truth. If that's you and you want to be a person of truth, would you lift your hand so I can pray for you right now? Keep them up. Yeah, just keep them. An attitude of prayer. You don't need to look around. You can have your eyes closed. Let me pray for you. My hand's lifted too. I want to walk in truth. I want to be a truthful person. Even if a little white lie comes, I don't want to be tempted to say something that's not true. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. I pray, God, that our church would know you intimately, so close to you, so close to the truth, Jesus, that they would grow in grace and the knowledge of God's will right now. I follow you, Lord. I follow Jesus as a disciple, Lord. I pursue you, God. I chase after you. I run to you, Lord. I know you today, Lord. And God, I'm your follower. I'm a disciple of Jesus today. Thank you, Father. You can put your hands down as you receive that prayer today. Today, my concern today is that you've deceived yourself today. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, you keep thinking, hey, I'm okay with God because basically I'm a good person. I've never murdered. I never killed. But you've deceived yourself. When you compare yourself to Jesus Christ, you're a sinner. Yeah, that can be saved by grace, are saved by grace today. And at this moment today, when you compare yourself to Christ and you need a Savior, you're far away from God. Don't play that card, I'm a good person, because no one is good. And all have sinned and come short of the glory. That's what it mentions in the Bible. So that's why we need a Savior. You're far away from God. You need to come close today to Jesus. And he's made this appointment time. I want to meet you today, Jesus said. Right where you're at, right in your chair, I want to meet you there. I'm waiting for you to respond to me, though. And you're in this house. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up to the altar. I'm going to ask that your hand is lifted. I'll note it. I'll lead you from a prayer here at the altar. And we'll all pray this prayer. But you need to note that your hand is up. If that's you, on the count of three, would you lift your hand and say, I'm far away from God. I need Jesus in my life. I've sinned. If that's you, on the count of three, lift your hand. One, two, three. Would you lift your hand right now? If that's, say, that's me. God bless you. Yes, you can put your hand. Yes, over here too. I see your hand. You can put them down. Beloved, you're already my sister. You're already my brother that lifted their hand. Yeah, because repentance happens a long time before the formal prayer. You're my brother. You're my sister. I walk with you. We're sinners saved by grace. The rest of us here that are in this room, we're sinners saved by grace. You're still a sinner, but you're saved by grace. We pray this prayer out loud. Those that lifted their hand, the five of you, would you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear? Let's pray it loud. Amen. Let's pray it out loud. Let's make our confession to heaven. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Those on the internet right now on Facebook Live, pray this prayer if you're far away from God. It doesn't matter if you're here. God can still reach you right now. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Jesus, you've taken all my lies, all my shame, and they went to the cross with your son, Jesus. I'm forgiven. I'm new today. And God lives in my heart. I'm a new creation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Would somebody praise the Lord right now? Come on, five people receive Christ. Thank you. I don't know how many on Facebook, amen, but you can make a comment. I came to Christ today. You can private message us also if you need to. Amen. We'll pray for you this week today. The connection cards are in front of you or around you. You can find one. If you have a special prayer request, let me know, especially if you receive Christ today. I'll pray for you this week like I do every week. Those are precious to me. I get those back at the end of service, and they matter to me. You matter to me, and I want to pray for you this week if that's you. Make sure that you do that today. Amen. There's a video that I want to show you, a video clip called John Bevere wrote a bestseller about probably a decade ago, but it's still so good. It's called The Bait of Satan. And I want to bring that book to you in video form in the month of August to you, and do it in a small group circle, but also have John present it via video, because it talks about being empowered to overcome the offense. Exactly what we just told our new members. If there's anything that comes at us, is the daily offense, the daily thing that were made, the devil saw that he could offend us and destroy our marriages, destroy our churches, destroy our communities by the offense. And so John Bevere has this great commercial. I hope it's ready. We can show it real quick. If not, we'll go on because of the time. And you can get a taste of what we'll be doing here in August.
In the last days, Jesus said we would know the season, we would know the generation, though we would not know the day or the hour, correct? Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Now look at an offended person will eventually betray. And a betrayal, if it is not dealt with, will ultimately lead to hatred. Those people that you thought were against you, and to allow in those people that you believe were for you. That's exactly what happens to a person when they become offended. They begin to build walls. Now, the New Testament doesn't call them walls. The New Testament calls them strongholds. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city.
It's a great series. I want you to be part of it. Plan to be here in August. Bring your friends, bring your family. Again, we'll break down, which is awesome, and on Wednesday nights. We do small group circles. There'll be a presentation, and then we'll break down with coaches in the small group circles. And amen. It's just good than having one person talk, a bunch of us talk. Right, everybody? Community, I heard, is not found in rows. It's found in circles. And so we tear up the rows, and we bring them into circles, and we talk to each other. And that's what small groups, small circles are at Living Faith Church. Christina's going to lead us out with an important couple of announcements, and Roger will dismiss in a song. Don't leave till the final amen. All right, everybody? And God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. Did y'all see my tired self? Yeah, I stayed up like 28 hours. This is a lot. Well, I wanted to do an announcement for a Summer Blast. We have it in 2 weeks. We are having it's our style of VBS. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I wanted to invite you guys, but then also we are needing some volunteers. We need some volunteers to serve the kids some cookies and juice and fruit. We need people to donate cookies, fruit, and juice. We also need some people to come out and help us set up for games and be referees, because, you know, we need referees when they're kids. And we just want to have some helpers around for VBS. And so there is a sign-up sheet in the back. We would definitely love your help. Also, if you do not have a background check, we need that done today. Just fill out the paperwork. It takes about 2 weeks to get processed. So if you're thinking, you know what, maybe I want to do it, at least fill out the background check so we have it done. And, you know, you have to check your work schedule. You don't have to worry about that background check being done or not done. But we would really love your help. Our theme this year is experiencing the God of the universe. So we're going to be talking about how God created everybody, and it's just how God is the God of the universe, and how of everything he made, he chose us to love and to be his bride. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. Pray, continue to pray for our kids, pray for that we can, the neighborhood can get changed by this. But definitely we would love your help. And also, I'm going to go ahead and post this out there. If you want to help out in any of the kids' ministries, we would love additional teachers for babies, toddlers, and children. So we are definitely would love your help on that end. But we will next week, we will have some little flyers to hand out to invite kids in your neighborhood. You know, if you're a tia and you just want to just pass them all out to all your nieces and nephews, we would love to have you guys. So definitely see me for help if you guys want to help out. Thank you.
Hey, so I just wanted to touch on me and my wife Daisy. We have a scripture that we kind of live by. And it's actually the last scripture that pastor had on his message was John 8:32. And when I was younger, I was about 18, I started getting deep into businesses. I opened up an automotive performance shop, had a trucking company and everything. And that scripture actually came to me in deep prayer. And my automotive shop was called Project 832, from John 832. So I could always be truthful and honest in everything I do, including that. My trucking company was 832 Transportation, and it really meant a lot to me. And that scripture, you know, living by truth, you know, as Christians, and in everything we do, you know, being honest, and the way Pastor said it, you know, it's big in our lives, and it's amazing. And seeing that scripture up there, you know, it always reminds me daily. But I thought I could share that with y'all, a little bit of testimony. And then another thing,